Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, November 19th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
the surge in COVID cases prompts New York City to close public schools.
Joe Biden warns the delayed transition is hurting efforts to fight the pandemic.
There is more encouraging news on the race for a vaccine.
Plus a grim milestone as the U.S. passes a 250,000 deaths.
Critics react to Mayor de Blasio closing New York public schools, plus a message from Governor Cuomo on big Thanksgiving gatherings.
Don't be a turkey.
I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks drafted Dayton's O.B. Toppin. The Mets' Robinson Cano hit with a season-long PED suspension.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are falling this morning. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 11 points this morning. Dow futures down 99. NASDAQ futures down 47. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. CAC in Paris down 0.8%. And the FTSE 100 down 1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.3%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 0.85%, yield on the two-year 0.17%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.25% or 51 cents at $41.32 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.9% or $16.60 at $18.5740 an ounce. The euro 1.1826 against the dollar. British pound 1.3245 and the yen 104.12. Nathan.
Karen, the latest impact from the pandemic is hitting New York City schools. Starting today, Mayor Bill de Blasio is closing public education facilities across the city.
Coronavirus positivity in New York City has hit exactly 3.0%. And as a result, we do need to close our schools for the coming days.
And now New York City parents are scrambling to figure out child care, and workers face the prospect of longer commutes with news the city's mass transit agency could slash subway and bus service by 40%.
Across the country, nursing homes are once again under pressure. Infections at assisted living facilities last week saw the steepest uptick since May. Daily cases in the U.S. continue to rise, with 177,000 reported just yesterday. Mary Turner is an intensive care unit nurse in Minnesota.
We're trying to care for patients despite limited supplies, limited staff, and a rapid decline in the hospital beds.
Despite that decline, the Trump administration says states will have enough hospital beds and equipment to handle the surge, though it's not pushing additional measures to slow the spread. U.S. deaths from the virus have now surpassed 250,000.
Well, meantime, there is more encouraging news in the race for a vaccine. Let's get the latest on that live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, the University of Oxford says the shot it's developing with AstraZeneca produced strong immune responses in older adults. We should note this is data from phase two trial, and researchers are still awaiting large-scale trial results like the ones we've had from Pfizer and Moderna, and that's expected in the coming weeks. The study involved 560 adults, including 240 over the age of 70. Just yesterday, Pfizer and BioNTech said their COVID vaccine was 95% effective, paving the way for possible emergency use authorization. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. When it comes to the White House response to the pandemic, President-elect Joe Biden said the delay to an official transition is hampering efforts.
I have no budget. I can't do any of this until I'm sworn in, or I can convince the president now to do things that should be being done already. I mean, there's hardly been a meeting that's taken place in the White House about any of this.
The head of the General Services Administration, who was appointed by President Trump, is declining to confirm Biden as the winner of the election. The move would give his team access to government data, experts, and officials as part of the transition process.
Now, the head of the world's largest asset manager is optimistic about a Biden presidency. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink says the result should encourage investors. Fink spoke at the Bloomberg New Economy Forum.
The market is in desire of more stability, of less volatility. They're looking for a voice that moderates, not a voice that incites. I truly believe President-elect Biden can be that voice of reason.
And when it comes to policy, Larry Fink says the president-elect should consider spending on infrastructure and broadband for all U.S. homes. Coming up today at the Bloomberg New Economy Forum, stay tuned for interviews with Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates, IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva, and Alphabet Chief Financial Officer Ruth Porat.
Meantime, there are more indications that Trump administration will push some last-minute priorities in the coming weeks. We get more on that from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
Chief of Staff Mark Meadows has held a closed-door meeting with a group of GOP senators to tell them time is running short. One of them, John Cornyn.
We wanted to make sure we had ideas, things that the White House could and should do during that period of time, that we got them to him.
And the timetable?
We've got about 45 days left of the president's term.
Senator Cornyn saying a pretty strong hint of potential farewell message. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. On Capitol Hill, the controversial nomination of Judy Shelton to the Federal Reserve is hanging by a thread, and there's little chance it goes through. The Senate has left Washington for its Thanksgiving break, and when lawmakers return, Democrats will pick up another seat. That makes confirming Shelton an even tougher battle.
Coming up on the economic front today, we get the latest tally on jobless claims. Economists forecast little change from last week as the pandemic continues to hit the labor market. And we get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Dale Giudice.
Bloomberg Economics anticipates jobless claims will remain elevated as the pandemic enters a new ugly chapter, forcing restrictions from coast to coast. Oregon officials ordered what they call a freeze. New Mexico has ordered non-essential businesses to close. In the prior report, jobless claims dipped to the lowest since March, but the level remains in a historic range. Vinnie Dale Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinnie. Turning to news overseas now, the president of the European Central Bank is promising a forceful monetary stimulus package next month. In remarks at a European Parliament hearing, Christine Lagarde urged governments to make pandemic relief available without delay.
And the UK and Canada are on the brink of a post-Brexit trade deal that would avoid tariffs from both sides come January 1st when the Brexit transition period ends, and Bloomberg News has learned an agreement could be announced within days. S&P futures down 12 points, Dow futures down 112, NASDAQ futures down 52. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get the latest news from New York and around the world, including the latest important news from New York City parents. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio may have closed all public schools in the city, but several private schools are staying open, at least for now, as COVID-19 cases rise. De Blasio says the city reached a 3% threshold for shutting down in-person learning. However, this mom in Manhattan says she does not understand the rationale for the move.
It's ridiculous that only our public schools are closed and our private schools, charter schools, and daycares are open.
At least one private school is shutting its doors. Horace Mann in the Bronx decided to shift to remote learning until January 19th. The school said the decision was made after a student tested positive for COVID-19. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says statewide the virus positivity rate in microclusters is 4.7%. Without microclusters, it's 3.1%. Cuomo once again urged avoid large Thanksgiving gatherings.
You know what love is on Thanksgiving? I love you so much, and I'm so thankful for you, that I'm not going to see you.
Cuomo says after Canada's Thanksgiving, October 12th, the cases of virus numbers shot up in that country. Governor Cuomo also says he will forego his scheduled $25,000 raise for 2021 as the state confronts a $16 billion budget gap for the next fiscal year. Cuomo, the nation's highest paid governor, has a current annual salary of $225,000. Republican State Assemblyman Andrew Garbarino won the U.S. House race in New York's 2nd Congressional District, keeping the Long Island seat in GOP control. Garbarino beat Democrat and military veteran Jackie Gordon. Garbarino will succeed Republican Representative Peter King, who is retiring. Republican Senator Mike Rounds says he wants to make sure U.S. troops are safe as President Trump plans to withdraw troops from Afghanistan and Iraq. Rounds spoke with Bloomberg's David Westin on Balance of Power.
Most of us, I think, on the Armed Services Committee, and me personally, I believe that the removal of troops has got to be based upon what's actually going on the battlefield. If the battlefield commanders say that they can safely remove those troops, then it's fine. But if they're not getting that information in, then I'm really concerned about it.
The South Dakota senator also asked people in his state hit hard by COVID-19 to use common sense and wear a mask. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, John Stashower is here with the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. The Knicks were disappointed with the results of the NBA draft lottery. A 21-45 record only earned them the 8th pick, but they did end up with the guy they say they wanted all along, Dayton's Obi Toppin, who was born in Brooklyn and played for Ossining High School. He was emotional in his interview on ESPN.
I'm from New York. That's why it's important. me repping my city is... It's amazing. A lot of people pray to be in this position, and I'm not going to take them for granted. I promise you that.
Knicks then moved up and down in a couple of trades and ended up with point guard Emmanuel Quickley, who with Kentucky was the SEC Player of the Year. The Nets are in a win-now mode, so they traded their first-round pick. They got back Landry Shamet from the L.A. Clippers. Minnesota had the first pick, took Georgia's Anthony Edwards. Golden State followed with 7-footer James Wiseman. But the Warriors learned yesterday their all-star, Klay Thompson, expected to return after missing all of last season with a torn ACL, suffered a leg injury while working out, and the fear is that it's a torn Achilles. Strike two for Robinson Cano. While with Seattle, he served an 80-game suspension for PED use. Now as a Met, a 162-game suspension for another positive PED test. Cano, who wears number 24, just lost $24 million in salary. The Giants have seen some improved play lately from their offensive line, but Coach Joe Judge wanted to bring in a new assistant, Dave DeGuglielmo, at least in part, to work with offensive line coach Mark Colombo, who did not appreciate that, and Judge then fired Colombo. Social media was wild with stories that the two had gotten into a fist fight. Apparently, there's no truth to that. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. We're looking at futures. Give back some this morning. S&P futures are down 12 points. Dow futures lower by 114. NASDAQ futures a decline of 50 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and global stocks are slumping for a third day as tougher virus restrictions from New York City to South Australia fuel concern about the pandemic's economic toll. U.S. stock index futures are also lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down about 15 points. Dow futures down 133. NASDAQ futures down 55. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. 10-year Treasury at 5/32nd yield 0.85%. Yield on the 2-year 0.17%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.5% or 61 cents at $41.21 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.8% or $14.80 at $18.59.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1824 against the dollar. British pound 1.3234 and the yen 104.12. And today we are watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims at an 8:30 Wall Street time. The Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index is at a 945, and its existing home sales and leading economic indicators at 10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President-elect Joe Biden says the General Services Administration's delay in allowing the official presidential transition to begin could set back the effort to distribute a coronavirus vaccine by weeks or months. Meanwhile, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said the city's rising test rate could force indoor dining, gyms, and other non-essential businesses to close in New York. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the U.S. will regard the Palestinian-led boycott movement as anti-Semitic and cut off government support for any organizations taking part in it. Pompeo announced the initiative in Israel today. In the NBA draft, the Timberwolves selected Georgia guard Anthony Edwards as the number one overall pick. MLB has suspended the Mets' Robinson Cano for 162 games after testing positive for a performance-enhancing drug. Cano was suspended 80 games in 2018 for another positive drug test. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get the latest on the coronavirus pandemic now. U.S. deaths are now past 250,000. More restrictions are going into place from coast to coast. At the same time, we are seeing rapid progress on the vaccine front. Joining us now is Dr. Stuart Ray, Vice Chair of Medicine for Data Integrity and Analytics at Johns Hopkins University. Good to have you with us this morning, Doctor. And we are seeing cases go up in just about every state now. Hospitals at or near capacity. Can the health system keep up with what's happening now?
It is a challenging situation we find ourselves in, with so many areas showing big rises. And I think one of the sobering points is that in places that had big impacts earlier, there was hope of some kind of natural herd immunity that clearly has not come to reality.
And now we're seeing restrictions go into place again in many states, including New York City public schools closing as of today. What kind of dent can that make in the surge we're seeing? Do you think it will?
Yeah, I think that targeted interventions where we know that spread is occurring can have a impact. We know that some places have done a good job of controlling at various points in this epidemic. So rational approaches, distancing, reducing large congregational gatherings indoors seem to make a big difference in controlling spread.
The approach that we've seen from the federal government, at least as it stands now under the Trump administration, seems a lot more focused on developing treatments. And of course, we have gotten some very positive news from the front runners in the vaccine race, as opposed to the preventative measures that many public health officials like yourself have been hammering home for months now. Does it have to be one or the other?
Not at all. I think we've been trying to push things that we have in hand that we know can help to an extent, but I think having vaccines could be a game changer. These are things that we could roll out on a broad basis, and assuming that confirmatory data show that they are truly safe and effective, this is a very exciting time. It's just a shame we're in the situation we are in now.
So what do we need to do at this point to get a handle on the situation? I mean, we've gone through a wave in the springtime where we're anticipating that a lot of families are going to be gathering for Thanksgiving. What are your expectations as we head into the holidays?
Well, I don't think we can completely shut down those gatherings. It would be great if people think about the size of the gathering, how many people they're mixing, and how high the rates are in the communities where they're coming from. If people wear masks when it's feasible and try to minimize gathering sizes, maximize ventilation, I think we can mitigate some of those effects while we're waiting for more effective preventive measures.
This week, the FDA did approve the first fully at-home test kit. It could produce results for people within 30 minutes without having to send it to a lab for analysis. Could that help?
I think that kind of rollout of available testing is important. Right now, it's not easy to get a test in many places, and so people who are pre-symptomatic don't even know that they're infectious. So having a test like this could make a big difference. That test will require a prescription, and it does take 30 minutes. It requires swabbing of both nares. It's from a company called Lucira. I think it just is a proof of concept for the kind of test that could make testing more available to a lot of people.
And now, as we wait for emergency use authorizations for vaccines, particularly after the late stage results from Pfizer and Moderna this week, in our last minute here, Doctor, what do you expect when it comes to vaccine distribution and whether that could start to get a handle on things for us?
It will be a challenge with some of the storage requirements for some of these vaccine candidates. Obviously, we're going to learn more over time. The National Academies has a rational approach to distribution, with protecting the most vulnerable people and maintaining our healthcare capacity by protecting healthcare workers. I think those steps and then a broader rollout will be challenging, but I think it's something that Americans can do.
Really appreciate your insights, Doctor. Thank you again for being with us this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. Dr. Stuart Ray is Vice Chair of Medicine for Data Integrity and Analytics at Johns Hopkins University. And you can always get more on what's happening with the coronavirus pandemic and the race for vaccines at Bloomberg.com/coronavirus or VRUS Go for all the latest developments on the Bloomberg terminal. Futures moving lower this morning. S&P futures are down 16 points. Dow futures lower by 144 points. NASDAQ futures down 52 points. That's a drop of about almost a 0.5% across the board. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, partly sunny, a little milder today. Highs in the upper 40s. Will be milder still tomorrow. Upper 50s for afternoon highs. Partly sunny and upper 50s for Saturday. Chilly right now, 31 in New York.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are falling as coronavirus cases surge and New York City closes public schools. Mayor Bill de Blasio announced the move as the city's positive test rate hit 3%.
We do need to close our schools for the coming days. No one is happy about this decision. We all, in fact, are feeling very sad about this decision.
And the decision comes as cases continue to rise across the country. 177,000 infections were reported yesterday. U.S. deaths are now past 250,000. Still, there is more encouraging news in the race for a vaccine. And we get the latest on that live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John?
And Nathan, the University of Oxford says the shot it's developing with AstraZeneca produced strong immune responses in older adults, those most at risk from the virus. We should note this is data from phase 2 trials. Researchers are still awaiting late-stage results like the ones we've had from Pfizer and Moderna. Those companies are expected to apply for emergency use authorization of their vaccines within days. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. When it comes to the White House response to the pandemic, President-elect Joe Biden said the delay to an official transition is hampering efforts and could also slow distribution of a vaccine.
I can't do any of this until I'm sworn in or I can convince the president now to do things that should be being done already.
The head of the General Services Administration, who was appointed by President Trump, is declining to confirm Biden as the winner of the election.
In the meantime, on Capitol Hill, Judy Shelton's chance of getting confirmed to the Federal Reserve is hanging by a thread. That's after the Senate left Washington for holiday recess without planning another vote on her nomination.
And geopolitical news, the UK and Canada are on the brink of a post-Brexit trade deal that would avoid tariffs from both sides come January 1st when the Brexit transition period ends. Bloomberg News has learned an agreement could be announced within days. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're down about 14 points. Dow futures down 110. NASDAQ futures down 57. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 0.85%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.17%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.1% on 47 cents at $41.35 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.75% or $14.10 at $18.59.70 an ounce. The euro, 1.1827 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3243. And the yen at 104.08. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Multiple New York private schools are staying open, at least for now. Many private schools have had the resources to spend on renting additional space for COVID social distancing. It comes as Mayor Bill de Blasio closed all public schools starting today as coronavirus cases rise across the city. United Federation of Teachers President Michael Mulgrew says the city established the 3% positivity threshold.
The 3% positivity rate that was in the plan submitted by the city to the state in terms of shutting the schools or putting them into remote was put forth by the city's doctors.
Critics, including city leaders, are weighing in. City Council Speaker Coby Johnson says this is a devastating moment for our city. And public advocate Jumani Williams says there is absolutely no leadership present. Parents are also frustrated, with many planning to show up at New York City Hall today to deliver a petition to Mayor de Blasio to keep in-person classes open. This woman on the city's Upper West Side feels parents are left scrambling.
Shocked, but more than anything, like, it went from like, oh gosh, like the wind gets knocked out of you, and then it was just furious, to be honest.
Governor Andrew Cuomo says the city's rising test rate could force indoor dining, gyms, and other high-risk, non-essential businesses to close. Cuomo also has a message for people wanting to have large gatherings for Thanksgiving. Don't be a turkey.
Canada, after Thanksgiving, number went right up. I've said this 150 times. It's going to happen because it's human behavior. I hear it with my own family.
In another blow, the MTA says New Yorkers will face the prospect of long commutes heading to work. Yesterday, the Transit Authority said it will have to slash subways and buses by 40% and chop commuter rail service by half if aid doesn't come from Washington. There is a sign that some key Trump allies may be realizing it's time for President Trump to start close up shop. Chief of Staff Mark Meadows held a closed-door meeting yesterday. Senator John Cornyn says Meadows hinted that the next 45 days could be the end of the president's term.
We want to make sure we had ideas, things that the White House could and should do during that period of time, that we got them to him.
Cornyn hinted of a potential presidential farewell message. Georgia election officials expect to release a report today on a hand tally of the presidential race. They have said they expect it to affirm Joe Biden's narrow lead over President Trump. The recount of about 5 million votes stemmed from an audit required by a new state law. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower is the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The NBA draft last night began with Minnesota taking Georgia's Anthony Edwards. Golden State then went with 7-footer James Wiseman, and Charlotte chose LaMelo Ball, the 18-year-old who did not play any college basketball. His older brother, Lonzo, is now with New Orleans. He was once taken second overall. First time brothers have both gone that high in the draft. The Knicks, picking eighth, took Obi Toppin, a 22-year-old with New York roots, born in Brooklyn. He moved out of the area, but then moved back, played for Ossining High School. Toppin was not recruited at all, but after a year at prep school, he went to Dayton and became a star. Big reason the Flyers went 29-2 last year. Toppin led the nation in dunks. Knicks later drafted Kentucky point guard Emmanuel Quickley. The Nets traded their first-round pick, got Landry Shamet from the Clippers. Al Horford got moved from Philadelphia to Oklahoma City. Seth Curry goes from Dallas to Philadelphia, where his coach will be Doc Rivers. Curry is married to Rivers' daughter. Doc Rivers used to coach his son, and now he'll coach his son-in-law. Klay Thompson, last seen in the 2019 NBA Finals, set to return to the Warriors from his torn ACL. He suffered a leg injury yesterday while working out. The fear is that it's a torn Achilles. As an eight-time All-Star second baseman with a lifetime average of over 300 and 334 career home runs, Robinson Cano has stats worthy of making the Baseball Hall of Fame someday, but forget that now. Cano just got suspended for PED use for a second time. This suspension will last the entire season. The Mets will now not have to pay Cano the $24 million he was owed. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Ethan.
All right, John, thank you. Coming up on the economic front today, we get the weekly reading on jobless claims, and after that, data on existing home sales, 10 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists say home sales likely dropped in October, even as mortgage rates run at record lows. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Deljudice.
We could see a weak headline because demand has been so strong. Bloomberg Economics says housing inventory remains extremely scarce, with the number of homes on the market running at record lows. High demand also means high prices, and that could cut potential home buyers out of the market, at least for now. Vinny Deljudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
In the meantime, Vinny, American home buyers are putting up the biggest down payments in 20 years. The median down payment for a single-family home or condo was almost $21,000 in the third quarter. That is up 69% from a year earlier, the most in records going back to the year 2000. Lenders have tightened mortgage standards, plus home prices have skyrocketed. Turning to earnings now, we're seeing shares of NVIDIA down almost 2% after its results. Chief Financial Officer Colette Kress says NVIDIA's data center chip sales will decline slightly in the current quarter. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
On the conference call with analysts, Kress said orders are falling from a Chinese customer of Mellanox. That's a networking chip business that NVIDIA acquired earlier this year. She did say demand remains strong from major cloud providers. In its earnings report, NVIDIA said revenue will be about $4.8 billion in the period ending in January. That compares with an average analyst estimate of $4.4 billion, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Job security on Wall Street didn't last long. The pandemic pause on layoffs just kicked the cost-cutting can down the road. Big banks are ramping up job cuts as their CEOs feel investor pressure. Goldman Sachs and Wells Fargo have imposed modest cuts, but 2021 is expected to bring larger ones. Delta Airlines is going to keep blocking middle seats through the first quarter of next year. The carrier wants to reassure passengers about the safety of their aircraft cabins. Delta's decision bucks an industry trend. Rivals have begun selling middle seats again. And it's another sign of how the coronavirus pandemic has upended Hollywood. Warner Brothers' Wonder Woman 1984 is going to premiere on HBO Max on the exact same day it arrives in U.S. theaters. Christmas Day, December 25th. The film debuts internationally 9 days before that. HBO Max subscribers are going to have a month to watch Wonder Woman 1984 at no additional cost. S&P futures right now are down 10 points. Dow futures lower by 108. NASDAQ futures a decline of 45 points. 10-year Treasury is up 6.30 seconds. The yield 0.85% and the yield on the 2-year note 0.17%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are slumping for a third day as tougher virus restrictions from New York City to South Australia fuel concern about the pandemic's economic toll. U.S. stock index futures are moving lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 5 points, Dow futures down 48, NASDAQ futures down 35. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 5.30 seconds, yield 0.85%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.17%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1% or 40 cents at $41.42 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.7% or $13.80 at $18.60.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1837 against the dollar, British pound 1.3259. And the yen is at 104.01. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, more than 1.3 million people worldwide have died from COVID-19. In the U.S., the death toll has passed 250,000. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city is shutting down in-person schooling as the infection rate for COVID-19 hit 3%. The Trump campaign revised a pivotal Pennsylvania lawsuit seeking to block certification of the state's election results. It adds a proposal that the Republican-controlled state legislature choose the winner instead of voters. In sports, the Timberwolves selected Georgia guard Anthony Edwards, the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. Major League Baseball has suspended Mets second baseman Robinson Cano for 162 games after he tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs. Cano was suspended in 2018 for also testing positive. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, where it's coming up to 6:49 on Wall Street. It is now time to check what's going on in D.C. Here are some of the top stories from our nation's capital. President-elect Biden is now calling on the General Services Administration directly to allow the transition to begin. Judy Shelton's nomination to the Federal Reserve is in doubt as the Senate leaves for the holidays. And shy Trump voters may be reemerging as a reason for pollsters' miss this year. Also making news, the Trump team promising states more hospital beds while doing little to stop the spread of the virus itself. Let's get more on all these stories now from Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. We know, Kate, that the White House COVID task force had a call with states this week. What did we get from it, and what does it say about the administration's approach to this pandemic that, as Michael mentioned, now has killed 250,000 people in this country?
Well, I think the main message from the White House was, you know, don't worry, because there are ample supplies of PPE and ample room in hospital beds. I think the exact sort of quote that we got in part of a readout from Mike Pence was something to the effect of, you know, that the U.S. is better prepared than it's ever been to combat the pandemic. Now, you know, that might be true. And if you take a step back and look at that statement, that is likely to be true, given that, you know, these efforts have been ramping up. However, that doesn't directly address the dramatic spike that we've seen in cases and the fact that we know that there's sort of an echo effect that there's a lag in hospitalizations and mortality rates, but that, you know, typically those do increase after, you know, we see a dramatic spike in cases. And so I think there's a reason to believe that, you know, U.S. Hospitals could become strained, if not overwhelmed, in certain areas, despite what the Trump administration is trying to assure governors.
And now we've heard from the Biden transition as well. It's been meeting with frontline health workers virtually this week. What's their approach? What are they saying they're going to do once they take office?
Well, I think there's a real sort of difference in the approach, in that there's a lot clearer line on some of the prevention aspects, things that would be designed to prevent transmission, slow transmission, whereas the Trump administration, you know, has been very focused on the idea of making sure that there are enough hospital beds available. The Biden team, you know, obviously is focused on ramping up PPE. Biden has said that he would use the Defense Production Act to do that, but also at the same time is focused on things like a national mask mandate or promoting the use of masks at the very least, and, you know, perhaps having a more targeted approach to, you know, incentivizing or requiring things, you know, to close, and if not a full nationwide lockdown, but moving to in that direction and supporting governors and local government efforts to do that.
Now, we know Biden has been saying that the fact that he hasn't gotten a traditional transition is potentially hampering the response to the pandemic. And now it sounds like he's at least speaking out more directly about the General Services Administration not doing that ascertainment.
Absolutely. And so now he's at this stage directly calling for the GSA to do that, to ascertain the results of the election. I think that's happening for a couple of reasons. One being just that we're seeing an additional number of states certify the election results. We could hear the results today of the recount in Georgia formally announced. So I think that, you know, as Trump's legal options for challenging the election results begin to dwindle, that would make sense for Biden to call for that more directly. And also just as the days slip by and, you know, in the context of this huge COVID spike that we're seeing throughout the country, Biden has said repeatedly that, you know, changing tack on the federal government's response to COVID is going to be his first job straight out of the gate. Well, it's hard to hit the ground running on that if you haven't been given the access that, you know, a candidate or a new president-elect is traditionally given to the federal government apparatus. And so I think that's why we're seeing him calling for that to happen more quickly.
Only about 30 seconds left here. What's the General Services Administrator's rationale for not making that ascertainment yet?
Well, I think the sense is that, you know, the sort of behind-the-scenes sense is that, you know, this is someone who has been a Trump loyalist and that, you know, they're holding out for some sort of a signal from the White House. But, you know, I think the more specific, you know, rationale that's been given has to do with these outstanding states and not having had them certified yet and the electors not having met.
All right. Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you. As always, you can follow all the latest developments from Washington at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in the nation's capital at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. At 6:53 on Wall Street, it's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT connects more than 1,700 tech-savvy students every year with the world's top industry employers through co-ops and internships. Learn more at njit.edu/CDS. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The University of Oxford confirmed that the COVID-19 vaccine it's developing with AstraZeneca produced strong immunity immune responses in older adults in an early study. Pivotal findings from the final phase of trials expected in the coming weeks. The results published in the Lancet Medical Journal shed more light on preliminary data released in recent months, showing the experimental shot generated an immune response in older people who are at highest risk of severe illness. The International Space Station's two Russian astronauts began spacewalking work to prepare for next year's arrival of a long-delayed lab, but had to scrap another chore because of a stubborn bolt. The Russian astronauts left four Americans and one Japanese inside during their spacewalk, which lasted nearly 7 hours. They immediately encountered a difficult bolt that prevented them from replacing a fluid flow regulator on Russia's oldest compartment, Zarya, Russian for dawn. And Alphabet has unveiled its long-anticipated expansion of Google Play, partnering with banks and retailers to offer consumers new forms of bank accounts, cards, and discounts. The upgraded payment system marks the tech giant's deepest foray yet into the U.S. financial system. But rather than directly challenge the industry, Google Pay will help users open accounts at partner banks. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. And here's John Tucker. John, good morning.
Yeah, hi, Karen. For 25 years, Dave Manning and his Black Dog Sports have been catering to skiers in Killington, Vermont. Well, snow is actually starting to blanket the slopes right now, but with Vermont requiring out-of-state visitors to quarantine, this ski season is far from certain. Dave joins us this morning. You've seen a lot of challenges in the 25 years with your ski shop. How does this pandemic stack up?
You know, we've had fires here. Back in 2000, we had a fire in the parking garage. We've had pipes burst above us, and now the plague. So it's right up there, but probably definitely the most challenging event we've had to deal with in 25 years.
So in terms of revenue, how have you been impacted with the start of the pandemic up to this point?
To be honest with you, John, we had to cease operations in the middle of March. And Killington is known for our extended seasons. So, you know, we were severely impacted March, April, right into May. Usually we ski to the first week of June. So the abrupt stop to things definitely impacted us financially. And also with getting going again, our supply chains have been hampered some.
Now, a store like yours, is there room to pivot to other sports?
Oh, most definitely. We are selling more alpine touring equipment right now than we ever have, which is very popular. We've been able to looking at different revenue streams with including cross-country skiing, as well as we're looking into maybe doing a bike program here next summer.
And these are all things that, unlike traditional downhill skiing, you're not going to be bunched up with other people, say, on a ski lift.
Exactly. And even, too, with the restrictions and the guidelines that Killington and the state of Vermont have put out, I think you're even going to be safe on a ski lift this year.
All right, Dave. Pleasure. Dave Manning of Black Dog Sports in Killington, Vermont. Best of luck. We're going to continue bringing you stories of small businesses trying to survive during the pandemic every day at this time right here on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker. That's the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. We're watching Macy's earnings crossing the Bloomberg third quarter profit. It was actually a loss. It was narrower than analysts were looking for, and it reported own plus licensed comparable sales for the third quarter that beat the average analyst estimate as well. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, Lisa Abramowitz straight ahead. For Nathan Hanker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.